Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and welcome to the conversation. Today, you need to ask yourself this one question. Do you choose a path of violence or one of peace with God? You need to think about that. Also, does David Morrissey still have a place at Manchester United? Do I even have to go there? I shouldn't have to go there, but we're going to go there anyways because I'm a Reds fan for life. And also, is freedom gone in this country? And is it slowly coming back? We're going to talk about that and more. The conversation begins right now. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Think about that as you're kind of going through your day-to-day. And thanks for tuning in and everyone listening. Thank you so much. Today I wanted to talk about, first off, I want to give a shout-out to all my listeners and everyone out there. Thank you so much for the prayers for my girlfriend, who her pastor lost his wife. That meant a lot to us because they've gone through hell and back. And I had a kind of rough weekend. A guy I went to high school with and a grade below me and I knew for a very long time passed, and some stuff, some unmitigated circumstances. You talk about having to forgive someone. If that family can forgive their son for what happened, what would stop you? I mean, you think about it. When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Father, if they do not know what they're doing. And it was a rough weekend, but I had about a 13-hour day yesterday because I was up at like, I have a weird biological clock. If I have to be up at like 5 or 6 o'clock, I will wake, I'm afraid I'm going to oversleep, so my body would just like wake up like every hour and a half or whatever, and I usually wake up like right before my alarm will go off, and that's just me. And I was up at like 5:30, and I'm like, I'm gonna fall asleep if I, whatever, so I'm just going to stay up, and I'm doing, friends of mine for a long time, I'm doing their 25th wedding anniversary, and it's, they really didn't know what they wanted. So it's kind of, because I'm in this catering business, you know, I do cakes, and I'm in a assisted living community, and, you know, outside of my job that I do as a chef in a assisted living community, and I'm the Arnold King, I do cakes for people because I have Kylie's cakes, and also if they want some catering and stuff, I can do that, different things. And so I'm having to go through, okay, so advertisers, would you want that? No, we figure after somebody we're just going to eat, and you have to go through all the stuff, and they don't really drink much wine, so, okay, let's do some, like, sparkling grape juice for the kids and stuff and for you guys and some things and go from there. And, you know, and they're like, well, how do we pay for this? How do we do this? And so I'm going through how I do things. I'm like, well, since I've known you my whole life, you know, I don't need upfront money unless you're talking like you want, like, I'm going to spend like 10 grand on it. Then I'd want something upfront. But I said, I just do like a percentage over what it costs me to purchase everything because I don't want to sit there, well, why does it cost me $5 for this, but $10 for this? The only time I really do charging based on what I do is when I do cakes, because it could be $3 to do this, to go buy all the ingredients to make this, but to do it takes so long and it's so time-consuming that, you know, like to do pulled sugar roses, they are so hard and so time-consuming that if you were to put that in a cake, let's say, it takes a long time to do, you know, so, but I had a good weekend, actually, good weekend, up until we had the season happen again as Manchester United now is no longer in the Champions League. It's at the bottom tier of the Premier League, It's not qualified, so next year it won't be in the Champions League. I mean, I don't understand what's going on in Manchester United. Why does David Moyse have Wayne Rooney, a striker, one of the best in the Premier League right now? Why do they have someone like him playing a defensive role in that game? I was screaming at the TV. And because I'm a Reds fan, and I've been my whole life, they're one of the teams that I really get, like, intense with. I actually went up to Chicago to see them when they took on the Chicago Fire. They did the World Tour, and I got to see Manchester United, and I got corner kick seats, and the one guy that was going to go with me from Columbia, he ended up having to work that weekend because stuff went wrong, and I almost had to work, and I was almost out all my tickets and everything, but I ended up getting out of it so I could go, and I went, and it was the best game. Oh, it was amazing. But what I think really happened when you look at the Champions League game against Bayern Munich, I was still going nuts that they had scored a goal, and before I had come down off of cloud nine, Bayern Munich already scored. And I'm like, what the heck? What in the? And from there, I think Manchester was like me in a daze. Like, how in the, like, not even probably a minute after Bayern Munich, you know, after Manchester United scored, Bayern Munich, they scored within like a minute. And it just, okay, now what do we do? I mean, there are so many people that will talk about Manchester United and say, okay, well, you know, you take, if Manchester United, yeah, they, one of the greatest coaches of all time, Sir Alex Ferguson, starting around the time that the Chicago Bears last won the Super Bowl, like in 86, 85, you know, how are you going to replace that? Well, I think if you would have taken, let's say, Jose Mourinho and brought him in as a coach and managed the team with someone with experience, it would have been a lot different situation. I expected maybe they'd be, not first, but, you know, maybe like fourth or fifth, around there, you know, struggling but still doing good because they got great players. And some people say, well, they got great players, but they got a new manager and all this. Well, I think he's having them do stuff that they've never – Wayne Rooney's not a defensive person. Why is he playing a defensive stance in the game in a position and when he's a striker? You know, I just don't get it. And I think they're just kind of, whoa, this is what I'm used to doing, and now he's trying to do something totally different. And if there's a method to his madness, I ain't seeing it. And it ain't showing up in results, in 3 points during games. But now I want to go to something that made some headlines. It's kind of confusing. France actually passed a law. Not really a law, but after 6 a.m., between 6 and 9 in the morning, they really don't want you to be talking on the phone or doing, like, work emails or stuff like this. And it's not what you think it is, because it's only, like, certain types of, like, unionized employees, because they believe that they don't want you to worry about your job once you're out of work. They want you to relax. That way, when you come back, you're refreshed. And you're not like, oh, I was looking at that email all night. So it's not every single solitary France employee or anyone that works in France. It's only a select part of this, like, French unionized people, you know, that work for these, like, unionized companies in France. And it kind of goes back to, there was a thing with the Airbus, the French Airbus facility, where the company wanted to close it down, and the French people were like, wait a minute, I have this union that I work for, and you just can't shut us down, you just can't do this, and, you know, and it's a really sticky situation, because I've had friends that have worked in unionized kitchens, and you'll have a grilled shrimp salad. Well, the grill guy can't put the shrimp on the salad guy can't get the shrimp off the grill, you have to have an intermediate person. Are you kidding me? My one boss almost got fired because he was lighting the pilots on his own. I'm not going to have a customer wait 45 minutes because I have to have maintenance light of pilot. If you want me to, I'll go out there and say, it's going to be about an hour because maintenance has got, you know, huge priorities, but I can't light the pilot light myself. So, you know, and until that room 406, they get that plumbing fixed and it stops leaking water, because there's about 3 inches of water in that room, you know. As soon as that stops leaking, you know, and they fix that, might be able to come down in an hour or two and light the pilot for me. But until then, you know, I'm not a high priority, so we might not be able to cook the food at all, ma'am. I really apologize. But, see, we're union-run, and I don't agree with unions 100%. Why do you need a union to come up with benefits so you can, okay, so you can have a break after an eight-hour shift if you work 8 hours? Get a half an hour break. Why do you need a union to have that happen? I mean, why do you need a union to have benefits? I know it kind of goes back to the days of the Pennsylvania coal miners where, you know, you were enslaved. I mean, if you ever want to see a great movie, it was filmed right behind my dad's house in Pennsylvania when he grew up, Molly Maguire. With Sean Connery. It's about a group of miners that came and fought back against the mines. And that's kind of why we have some of the laws we have to protect workers, because of the stuff that had gone on. You know, you would get money, and it'd be mine money. And okay, well, you can only use it in this store, and then you'd buy store credit and this and that, and when the store credit would go out, you know, you sit there and, okay, now you're in debt to the mine because, hey, you got all this store credit and you can't leave, and it's just, you know, and you would fill up a cart full of coal and it'd be 99% coal, and they'd say, oh, this is inferior, this is, you know, there's only 50% of coal in there, going into, and, you know, and there were some of the inspectors that would inspect your cart that were found beaten to death. Because you would have a cart that was 90% coal, and they would say, oh, there's only 40% in there, or 50%. And you would only get paid for 50% when the whole, you know, just to make more money for the miners. So I don't really agree. I'm not a union person at all. And it doesn't mean I don't support benefits for employees as far as breaks and stuff like that, and vacation times and stuff like that. But, you know, That was the big kind of misconception with that French law, that everybody in France, doctors, anybody, chefs, whatever, after 6 a.m. or 6 p.m., they can't, you know, do work or whatever. It's only for like a select group of a unionized type employee in France. And that made headlines because, why can't we do that stuff here? I'm like, well, there's a reason why we don't do that here, because we're productive. We do stuff, you know. But a Michelin star chef is going in at 6 in the morning until midnight. That's not going to change his day, because it won't affect him at all. But, anywho, that's just my little rant on that, because I like that, and it's just something that was unique, and I wanted to bring that out, and is freedom lost in this country? I think we're actually starting to get it back. I really think that people are starting to really wake up. And a lot of these people that did these Obama healthcare commercials are starting to wake up that have lost the insurance. Well, wait a minute. I did a commercial saying that I had healthcare, and I can keep my healthcare thanks to Obamacare, but now that they've lost the healthcare that they said in the commercial they'd be able to keep, now they're starting to put two and two together. You know, I mean, I there are still people out there that Obama could kill someone and they would still, whatever, whatever, Republican, that's a lie, that's CGI, that's computer generated something, whatever, that's not real, whatever, you believe that? Okay. Well, yeah, that was my best friend and I was at the funeral the other day and, well, yeah, I saw him in the casket, but of course, you know, since Terry Reid got on the floor and denounced that if you believe that Obama actually killed someone, that has to be a lie, because he said that with the health care bill. That thing with Obama killing someone is just fictitious. But this is an example. Like when Harry Reid got on the floor and said that all these things about Obamacare and people losing their insurance, they're all lies and all this stuff. Is Hillary Clinton a bad person? of course she is an evil person. And one of my friends, I don't like to argue politics because, like I say a lot of times, I just state my opinion and you can like it or don't like it. But there are people that will like Obama no matter what. They'll support Hillary Clinton to the day they die, no matter what she does. She could kill 50 million people and they'd still support her. She could turn into an Adolf Hitler and be like, praise Hillary, you know? So, but I almost put that on this link that I said, and she posted it. I almost put it on this link. Will you go talk to any of the parents of the kids who died in Benghazi and tell me what they tell you if they think Hillary Clinton is a great person? Because let me tell you something, if that was my son or daughter, I would be going ballistic. Because so what? You send the troops. What's the worst they do? You pick the troops up. You bring them back home to have a dignified burial, and you can have closure with the family. Even if you cannot be there to save them, you can send troops to at least try to get the remains to give some closure to the families. None of that was even done. Well, first it's a cartoon, you know. There's this cartoon on there that Muslims got offended by, and then it was something else, and every other day it was some other lie. Oh, but it has to be the truth because liberals said it, you know. I just get so sick of the double standards. And what I really get sick of is, I can go to someone that I know is liberal. All I have to do is say, well, I saw this on Fox News, and they instantly, it's like looking at every black person as the N-word. You know, they don't sit there and say, well, even if, and because this one lady said that, I said, well, I saw this one, Fox News, oh, wait, and like, Republican, I'm like, wow, how'd you know I'm a Republican? Well, you're talking about that lying network, Fox News, I'm like, wow, really? Well, you're really smart. And she started some more smart-ass comments. I'm like, well, because I'm actually an American. I don't really side. I've never really signed up with the Republicans, Democrats, or anything. I've always supported the libertarian, Tea Party-type, independent candidate. So I'm not a Republican, first off. And let me rephrase my very first statement. The video was a C-SPAN video. And in the video, it's a really old guy that's still in Congress. And they didn't say what the bill was. It was on the Glenn Beck program. They didn't say what the bill was. But they're like, Bill 2641J. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Nay! Like, everyone says nay. He hits the gavel. Motion passes. And they pass this bill. Even though no one supported it but one lonely voice, and everyone else said nay. Because he can't hear right, and he's senile and old and shouldn't be in Congress anymore. They passed this bill. That's because we've got the establishment in Washington. You've got the GOP that wants to keep it going. There's too many people in Washington in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party who are there for their own pocketbook. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. All they care about is lining their pocketbooks. If they weren't about lining their pocketbooks, then why would Sarah Palin go on Fox News and say, when I was running for vice president with John McCain, I was not allowed to talk about the fact that Barack Obama made a comment about visiting 58 states. I couldn't talk about that. I couldn't talk about his relationship to Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground and the fact that back in the day they tried to bomb American buildings. I couldn't talk about that. I couldn't talk about him being married by Jeremiah Wright, the Reverend, who preaches black supremacy and hate. She couldn't talk about these things. She gave a whole list of things that she was forbidden to talk about. Why? Because the GOP wants the established to stay there. They don't want to change anything. They love having Lindsey Graham and John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and John McCain and all these people in there, you know, to keep the system going. That's why like I always say this, and I say it many times, what if Republicans want to cut spending and Democrats want to cut spending, why does the debt ceiling keep rising and rising and rising? Because every Democrat, and you can see a lot of the videos of all these Democrats saying it's fiscally responsible to spend when Bush was in office, but now that Barack Obama's in there, they're there with a collection plate bigger than the size of Texas trying to get any dime that ain't nailed down. Well, how can you support all this spending when you can't support any, and spending is spending, folks. It doesn't matter. You can't, but then liberals will see, well, that was for the war, and this is for this, and da, 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 da. Well, when you look at the stimulus bills, and they gave $4 million to put new windows in a building it's abandoned, and here's $3 million for a new runway and airport that's barely used. I mean, it is still open and still used, but it's, you know, there's five people that use that airport, and there's $3 million going to them. Like I said, I actually got someone on this, because I was talking about the Obama fund. And this guy goes, well, who do you think gave the Obama fund? I said, who gave the Obama fund? The first Obama fund was given out by Ronald Reagan back in the 80s. It was a way for, if you apply for a job, now you can get a phone so you have a way for them to contact you about an interview. I got a phone. Obama gave me a phone. I got a phone. Yeah, I got a phone, man. Got the Obama phone. Give me a phone. Oh, yeah, I got a phone. It's not, they're not taking the phone for the purpose of what it was designed for, to help better yourself. Welfare was not designed to be a career. It is now. Most people look at it like this. This liberal is going to give me a phone, give me food, give me health care. He's going to pay for my house, my rent, whatever. This Republican, I'm going to have to go to a job and pay taxes and take money that I hard-earned and pay for my groceries and pay for my rent and pay to see a doctor. Why would I want that? I want to have someone that's just going to give me stuff. It's amazing when they, and I said this, I think, last week on the show, the week before, about how Louisiana actually had to pass a law that the food stamp card, the EBT card, cannot be used to buy tattoos and lingerie. And are you kidding me? I can take my food stamp card and swipe it at a tattoo parlor up until recently in Louisiana? The food debit card is so that you can have food, bread, eggs, and cheese, the bare essentials to feed your family. You want to do that show right, that Biggest Loser show? Take those people and put them in Ethiopia. Seriously, put them in Ethiopia. Okay, this is today's game. In fact, this week's game. Sometime today, a truck's going to come with a pound of dry rice. If you get some, you get to eat this week. If not, you don't. You want to know how quickly they would drop their pounds? They'd probably die just from lack of nutrition, because they're used to eating like 800 pounds of food a day down to like a cup full of rice a week. I mean, nothing against fat people. Nothing. I mean, when you look at someone, you got to look at their heart. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, who the person is. I've dated some big women, and when you look at their heart, they're the greatest people in the world, and they are. And it's just, it's like, I have a metabolic type muscular myopathy, and that's how this show kind of got started. For any new listeners out there, I had, well, actually, originally started when I started to do paranormal stuff on, like, USOs, UFOs, ghosts, and stuff like that. And I decided, well, so many people were asking, what's up, why do you say all this stuff on Facebook? So I started doing this half-an-hour show to explain my myopathy, what I have, what I deal with. But I see a muscular dystrophy doctor once a year, and I, every 3 to 6 months, I go to a pain management clinic, and I, you know, all this stuff, and the muscle biopsies I've had done and everything. And when you look at what's gone on, and it just went from that to continuing on. But when you look at someone that's in a wheelchair, they're no different than you or I. They want to be able to do anything you or I do. I had some friends that were local, like Muscular Dystrophy Association, like kids back in the day, like a Jerry's Kid, like a local promoter kind of thing, like the local ambassador kind of, you would call it that. And, you know, when school was around, we used to, the football players, no matter who they were, they would take them and we'd push them around, take them to their class, you know, because they could wheel themselves. But every once in a while it was fun just to take them and push them to class and Zoom pie people and race in the wheelchairs with them, you know, pushing them. And it was a great time. And that's one thing they taught me so much is they don't want to be treated differently. Like, if you ever get on YouTube, I don't think it's on there anymore, but there was a commercial where guys, like, kind of like, I had to be taught differently, and I was in a different class, and I had to learn differently, and I don't want to be treated differently. And when I wanted to be independent, I got a job, and I got my license, and da-da-da-da, and it shows how he conquered adversity. I'm like, I may have some mental issues, maybe disability mentally a little bit, but I want to be like everyone else. I want to be like everyone else. And it's just how they are. I mean, I wasn't dissing anyone with the comments I made about, you know, the Biggest Loser. But if you ever saw what I got about 3 minutes left of my show, one thing that really offended me, and if you ever watched PBS, they did a show called Frontier House, because if anyone knows me, I'm a history buff. I love history. I've reenacted for many years. I go out to, we have a feast at Hunter's Moon in our hometown every year, and I usually go out like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And like Thursday, they have mentally retarded kids and wheelchair and disability kids, and I'll go out there with my drum, and I'll let them hit the drum. I'll play the drum. Anything they want to know history-wise about the drums or about history in general, about life in the 1800s, we all, as history people, love to spread our knowledge and what we know of history. And in the process of doing that, they did a frontier house where they had these like five families or whatever, and they had them live like people did in the 1800s. First of all, they didn't give them any training. But everyone in there was a girl crying, well, I can't go without makeup. She was like crying because she looked ugly without makeup. And this girl was going to get married, and when you got married back in the 1800s, you wore your Sunday best, your best outfit, probably your mom made. But she had to have a white dress. It's like, I just got so offended by that. If you're going to do that show, get people like me that would love to do it and would love to take, okay, give me about 2 weeks and go and do some things to learn how to do some of the things that they would have had to have done. You know, so that when I'm, and get people that want to do it, not get these people that are having contraband foods flown in, and, you know, and we need to try to live like they did, 100%, with people that want to do it, not people that, I want to wear, like, no, a white wedding dress, they wouldn't have had that back then. And she was going ballistic and all this, and it's like, why do a show like this if you're not going to get people that really, truly want to try to live like they did back then? I don't know. That's just me. It just offended me because they just ruined the show, and I stopped watching it. I'm like, I don't. If it was people that really wanted to try to live like they did and really were history buffs and loved their history, that'd have been cool. But if not, I don't waste my time. I just want to thank you all for listening for this week's conversation. To all my listeners out there and to my girlfriend, thank you so much. I love you, dear. God bless you, and have a great day.